I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture reading this morning comes from the second chapter of John, reading verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of this word.
Thank you, Tim. I want to talk to you today about turning it around. Now, in our scripture lesson today, in the Gospel of John, we have the story of Jesus going up to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And he goes to the temple where he finds all these entrepreneurs. Familiar term to all of you? And they're taking advantage of this Jewish holy day to try and make a little profit. He sees the folks selling the animals for the sacrifices, sheep, cattle, doves, to the pilgrims who've come to Jerusalem. He knows that the people that have come for Passover probably don't have a lot of money. They've already spent most of their money just to make the trip to Jerusalem. But they need the animals for the sacrifice. And since they couldn't bring animals from home, what happened is that the local folks saw a big business opportunity. They sold the cows and the sheep and the doves to the pilgrims for an inflated price, and they made a tidy profit. They saw a business opportunity, and they took it. There was a market, and there was a need for that product. So they seized the moment. And over time, it had grown into a big business, not only for the sellers, but for the temple itself. We all know how that works. We see it every day. The people who provided the cattle and the sheep and the doves charged a price per head. Nothing too big at first, just what the market would bear. And then the temple decided that they ought to get a cut. So they charged for each booth that they can rent to the animal brokers. And so they can make a little profit as well. And of course, that fee was just added to the animal. So it would cost the pilgrims a few bucks more. That's the price of convenience, isn't it? And maybe then the priest asked for money for allowing the animal brokers to use the temple. They should get a cut, right? After all, if they weren't there to run things, the pilgrims would never have come in the first place. There weren't any government regulations against that, and there weren't any religious regulations. It was just good business. You see a potential market, and why would you not take advantage of that opportunity? And so the money changers saw it. They saw the livestock brokers making money, And they thought, well, here's an opportunity for us. And on it went until the whole Passover event became the most profitable week of the year for the temple and its brokers. You know, even the money changers probably came up with some of that. They had some enticing deals, like instant credit approval. No interest for the first year. No payments for 6 months. The temple was turned into a thriving market. And each year it got a little more expensive for the pilgrims. After all, in good business, you have to maximize your earnings, right? How can you know fully what the market will bear until you test it out? And that had been going on for years. It wasn't against the law, and it seemed that no one had really questioned the morality of it. It was just a way of life in ancient Jerusalem. That was over 2,000 years ago. And the same things happen today. What is amazing to me on a personal level is that things we face today were faced by others long ago. Like the saying goes, history repeats itself. The reason is we are human, just like those people in Israel. And then Jesus came along. He arrived on the scene and he saw what was really happening. He saw that the pilgrims really didn't have a choice anymore. If they wanted to participate in the Passover rituals, they just had to pay the price. He questioned that practice in a big way. He made quite a scene right there in the temple, right there, in front of God and everyone. What did he do? He turned it around. He threw open the doors of the booths and he drove the animals out. He pushed the tables over and poured the coins of the money changers out. And he yelled at the top of his lungs, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house into a marketplace." That was a wake-up call for the temple. And it should be a wake-up call for each one of us. Don't you wish that Jesus had come along a couple of years ago and given us a wake-up call before our economy went south? But wait. Just wait. He's been here all along. The story is right there in the Bible, in black and white, in all four Gospels. And we've had access to it all these years. We've heard this story many times before. Maybe it just takes a crisis to finally open our ears, being able to hear his word in a new way and allow them to be a wake-up call, not just for our churches, but for our entire nation. But maybe there are some morality questions that we need to address, because turning everything into a marketplace can be problematic, especially when it comes to be a high price to the majority of the ordinary, good, hardworking, honest people. The good news is we've been given a wake-up call. The question is, what do we do with it? He has given us an opportunity to hear the word and to repent and believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. He's given us another chance to be disciples, disciples of Christ. And it is good news. And I'm here to tell you, we can turn it around. We can change our lives and the lives of those around us. We can focus on making disciples of Christ for for the transformation of the world. All we've got to do is look out our doors right here in Texarkana and in Atlanta, and we can see the world around us. Not with the eyes of marketers looking for a way to sell our programs and draw the biggest crowd and the most customers. We've got to look out our doors with God's eyes, not our own. We have to look around our churches and our neighborhoods and see the real needs of God's people. The wounds, the hurts, the anger, the depression, the addiction, the fears, the suffering, the oppressions, the cries for healing and the meaning and a real sense of purpose in this short life we've been given. We've got to be about the business of making disciples of Jesus Christ, who's not only interested in being fed themselves, but who are also interested in feeding others. Just like in the times of Christ, we live in a world in which people make judgment based on what is presented on the outside, how physically attractive we are, how beautiful and able-bodied and fit, where we live, what kind of car do we drive, how much money do we make, how our church looks, our individual educational and professional achievements, and how well we comply with what the culture considers normal. Unfortunately, that's the wisdom of the world that we live in. It's here. We can't change that. But let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus die on the cross in order to save you? Many people today might have difficulty answering that question. One thing that seems certain today is that proclaiming Christ crucified is not simply a party line to be recited by those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, today, it's a radical statement to point to the cross and say that Christ on the cross dying is our hope and our salvation, our source of true happiness and satisfaction in life. Because when we say those words, it implies the opposite. Proclaiming Christ crucified is saying that looking at things a certain way, living a certain way, achieving a certain standard of living is not our hope and our salvation, or our source of true happiness and satisfaction in life. In other words, each of us individually needs to proclaim Christ being crucified is to boldly and blatantly reject the primary values of the culture that we live in. Each of us must live our lives so that others can see Jesus in everything we do. And believe me, others do see and how we act. That's a fact. We can't just sit back expecting others to carry the load and pat ourselves on the back when we're sitting in church here on Sunday for having done our duty to the Lord, expecting his earnest thanks for a job well done. Here at Central Christian, we are blessed to have brothers and sisters in Christ who are working hard to assure that the focus of Central Christian is on spreading the good news of Christ with love for all. But there are people in our community today who are hurting and who need the healing love of our Lord and Savior. We each can be the instruments of the Lord to turn it around and help those find the Lord. We have several committees here at Central Christian working to do just that. All those committees need your God-given talents. You can help, you individually, each one, being open to opportunities to bring the love of our Lord to these people who are waiting for the chance to learn about Christ's saving grace. A lot of us ask the question, but what can I do? I don't have any real talents. What is it I can do? We often ask ourselves, I don't even know where to start. So what might a little bit of effort help? Well, each of us has been given a talent by our Lord. In one of his parables, he talked about giving the talents to the servants. Let's don't be that one who takes that talent and hide it in the dirt to save it so we won't lose it. We got to use it. And we have to use that talent that he's given us to turn it around and reach out to our fellow man to show them by our examples that belief in the Lord means something. Not just us attending church on Sunday morning. We've got to live this life every day. When we consider this time of the year, Lent, by self-examination, repentance, by prayer, fasting, self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. Surely, as part of the season's discipline, we must not only seriously wrestle with what it means for each one of us personally to proclaim Christ crucified, but also consider how we are making that evident in our daily living and in our church. There's work for each one of us. So please don't hold back and just wait for others to carry the load. Reach out and make it happen. We have all heard of, and maybe we have even experienced, that term called burnout. It happens in churches too. So in the theme of John F. Kennedy, ask not what your church or Jesus can do for you, but what you can do for them. Let's all work together to turn it around. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we look to you for your guidance and help as we strive to be more like what you want each of us to be. Please be with us and help us as we try to live our lives as you taught us. Help us to reach out to people and allow your healing grace to take hold of their lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.